Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord.
To be honest, I think this woman Jesus is talking about seems a little bit crazy or desperate or obsessive compulsive. I'm not sure what the right word is, but not normal. What woman wouldn't light a lamp, like get up in the middle of the night, sweep the house, and search diligently for a lost coin? Overturning cushions, moving couches, emptying the pockets of all the coats and pants in the house, laying on the ground, her face pressed to the floor, fishing under the refrigerator and stove, 3 a.m. She had 9 coins. She lost 1. What are the chances that it's even in the house? Don't you think she probably dropped it in the street? But she's all night on her knees, bent over, breathing in the dust from under the refrigerator, and she finds it. Well, good for her. And then she goes outside, like yelling, excited, "Everybody rejoice with me, for I have found the coin. I lost a coin, but then I got up and I swept around and I find it. Finally, I found it under the rug in the bathroom. Come and rejoice with me." I mean, it seems like maybe the neighbors could possibly have a difficult time working up much, you know, enthusiasm for that celebration. I mean, that's great, sweetie. You found your coin, good for you, but rejoice with you? Rejoice seems like a big, full word. I don't even know how many times we rejoice in a whole lifetime. I was trying to open this jar this week, and I had a hard time, but finally, after pounding it on the floor and running it under water, I got it open. I felt a little happy. But you know what? I didn't invite my friends and neighbors over to celebrate. I lose my keys probably once a day. It's a relief to find them, but it seems like a bit much to throw a party. That sounds like a woman that's looking for an excuse to drink. Hey, let's pull out the scotch. I found a coin. I mean, there's a lot of things to worry about right now. Fascism, racism, the destruction of democracy, and the destruction of the planet. There are actions that need to be taken, protests that need to be joined. Sometimes I see a coin on the ground in plain sight, and I don't pick it up. I actually do feel sort of bad about this, but it has happened that I'm at the grocery line, checkout line, and I'm in a hurry because I have 25 other things I have to do after that. And sometimes when I'm stuffing the change into my wallet, one of the coins falls on the ground. And it seems like it would be a lot of effort to bend down and pick up the coin. And I might upset the balance and I might spill the groceries, so I don't pick up the coin. It's like one coin. So, I don't know, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it, and then invite the neighbors over to rejoice with her? Well, I have never known anybody who actually had a party to celebrate the finding of a coin. 9 seems just about as good as 10 to me. Who wouldn't? Most people actually would not. It seems embarrassing to have a party about finding the coin. Like, it might seem like you don't have a lot of other accomplishments to celebrate. It also seems irresponsible. In the scheme of things, in the midst of climate change, the French elections, Monsanto and Syria, and the escalation of violent posturing and warlike threats, a lost coin is a super, super little an insignificant thing, really. This chapter in Luke begins with the Pharisees and scribes murmuring disapprovingly because they say Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. So then Jesus tells these 3 stories, bang, 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 all in a row, one after the other, about something very little or seemingly unworthwhile, being lost and then found, and then there's this great rejoicing. The first 2 stories are actually a little bit absurd. They don't line up in any way with common sense. The first one, who wouldn't, if they had 100 sheep and lost one, leave the 99 in the wilderness to search for the lost one? The answer to that question is most even semi-responsible people. Leave 99 in the wilderness to go after the lost one? Sensible people would at least secure the 99 in the fold before they went looking for the one. If you had 10 coins and lost one, who wouldn't spend all their energy sweeping and searching like crazy for the one? Most people who have active and fully engaged lives wouldn't. You have 100%. You lose 10% or 1%. Maybe you secure what you haven't lost. Keep the 9 or the 99 safe. I mean, right? When you've lost, what you've lost is insignificant compared to what you have. You don't bend over and risk dumping your groceries or being late to your daughter's concert to pick up a penny. If you're running a campaign and you have 99% people with you, that's the reason to celebrate. You're succeeding. It would be crazy to change your platform to pursue the one. Majority rules, that makes sense. That's important to democracy. It's smart. Chasing through the wild for one little lamb while 99 are bleeding and hungry, turning everything upside down for the one. It doesn't seem like it's a very good principle or something. Jesus is funny. He acts all like, well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't act in ways that are completely contrary to common sense or even social responsibility? He acts like, of course these stories are right, but they aren't really. They actually make no evolutionary or social or mathematic or economic or even moral sense. These stories are jolting, not obvious like Jesus makes them out to be. What's he up to? What would it look like to put this dogged, tireless, unending pursuit of the insignificant one into operation? Maybe you can't really put it into operation. Like, operation is too mechanical of a term. How would the world function? Maybe function even implies machine, a mechanism, net results, systems. These words don't seem to mesh that well with what Jesus is talking about, outcomes, profit, efficient operations. What he's talking about is the love of God. Honestly, I can't fathom it. The lost coin is sort of an interesting metaphor for Jesus to choose. You can, I think, work up a little bit feeling for a feeling of warmth and sadness and concern for the lost lamb. The lost lamb is woolly and has this warm body, and you can imagine it out in the woods, like baaing sadly all alone, this sweet and needy, vulnerable lamb. So maybe you can understand this shepherd looking for it. But a lost coin? It doesn't feel sad. It's not making sad, lost noises. It doesn't. No, it's lost. It hasn't been rejected by the other coins. It's hard and cold and not feeling bad. And yet the woman turns her house upside down to find it. What for? What's her plan? What initiative does it profit? The woman with the broom doesn't really seem to be running an efficient operation. It's like Mother Teresa thinking it's worthwhile to light the cigarette of a dying person. How? Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you can't see the kingdom. Like a child, happy to find a penny. When Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you can't see the kingdom, I don't think he's being sentimental or hallmarky. How sweet, children are so easily pleased, the joy in little things. I think Jesus means it. I just don't know what he means. Unless you become like a child, what is the kingdom of God like? What is the love of God like? Like not utilitarian, unprofitable. How does it work? Or are these the wrong questions? A standard prayer for men in antiquity was, "Blessed be God that he has not made me a woman." Some religious leaders claimed, "He whose business is with a woman has a bad character." There were laws that forbade a man to teach his son a woman's trade. Sweeping the house, lighting the lamp, were not exactly respected activities. It was women's business, unglamorous. Powerful and mighty wouldn't be the words that you would use for it. What if God was like a woman sweeping around looking for a coin? It's sort of an interesting thing to put out there. God, like a woman with a broom, rejoicing over a lost coin. Not a patriarch with all his valued work, or a warrior, or a prominent rabbi doing important theology, but an old Jewish woman with a broom, looking for a cold, hard, itty-bitty little thing. What about a God like that? Well, it would be no wonder if it doesn't seem quite like God's winning many battles. The loss of one breaks God's heart. I don't know if you can quite win in any normal sense of the word win if you're like that. The Bible is full of stories about God seeking desperately, seeking passionately for what is lost. I don't know if that even seems all that healthy, actually. It's not like practicing non-attachment. It's not like letting go. What if God searches endlessly for the lost, letting the rest of the housework go? What about a God that keeps losing stuff? How messy is that woman's house? She can't even keep track of her coins. Well, organized might not be a word I would use. What about a God who loses coins and sheep and sons, whose house is a mess, who, if she accomplishes great things, it's so subtle or hidden that you can barely detect it, who finds the lost little every one invaluable? What small accomplishment causes her joy opening the jar? Come, everyone, to my party. Can we even relate? Seems like a crazy woman. The people aren't maybe all that enthusiastic about finding the little coin thing, but she is. What crazy, stunning, beautiful, foolish stuff, the love of God. Inordinately, desperately loving. If you were to apply the standard of the world, maybe we'd have to call God weird, impractical, definitely not a shrewd businessman. Olivia's calculus teacher sent home a syllabus and rules for the class that the parents were supposed to read and sign. The teacher wrote in huge letters, "Organization equals success." And I nearly had an existential crisis. Could I sign that? Say I agreed to it? Organization of what? Success of what? If my daughter keeps her papers straight, does her assignment, she'll succeed at what? Keeping the organization, institution, structure running smoothly, but is it beautiful? Is it life-giving? Is life, love, hope well organized? God seems to have a need to find the lost, to pull up what is cold and hard and little into her lap and love it, and then get everyone else around to come and love it too. How can that change the world? Seems like little by little, maybe like molecular, like slow and thorough and patient and complete and tender love. Maybe like something that has no bottom line. Like say there was no bottom line, like profit or purity or success, but just some sort of infinite reaching for the lost, the least. The chapter started out with the Pharisees accusing Jesus of receiving sinners. Then Jesus compounds that offense like a million times, really, by telling these stories. Not only does God receive sinners, God desperately seeks them. Like, not only is God not keeping things pure, God is looking for the impure. God is turning over rugs to find us. Like, God doesn't want anything else but the sinner. It seems like God is probably so different from the things and ideas that we make into gods, goods, goals. So of a completely different order, if you can call it an order, propelled, if you can call it that, by something so other than profit or systems or what we would consider successful outcomes, by love. And in a way, the love, the mercy, goes against our most sacred assumptions about what is good. Purity, growth, success, big, important, achievement, you name it. Like what matters is so different than our notion of what matters that our whole consciousness might have to be restructured or unstructured or exploded or slowly, totally transformed over time to see it. The love of God that really entirely sustains us, but we don't see it. But whether or not we really see it or understand it, God's like, trust me, you can rejoice. Really, it may not seem like it to you. I know it looks messy, but I'm getting it all gathered up here in my lap, not straightened out, maybe, but breathing. God's like, so come on to the table and rejoice with me. Feel a little of the love and the mercy. Success, piety, purity, profit, maybe not that worth striving for. We are sustained by the grace of God so that we may love one another. Maybe that doesn't seem like a very efficient plan. Maybe the effects aren't easily calculable. You don't have to have it figured out. Just eat it and love and be merciful.